You've got the 365 Mrs. Center show in today's 176th episode, which came a little late. You will be happy that you waited. We'll be happy that we had technical glitches because we had something really interesting come out around Teams, shared calendars, and channels. We'll talk about the rest of it when we get there. Let's roll the intro.
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
This one feels like a little Christmas present because it's been an issue. But yeah, we'll leave it for you because it's your message.
I think, yes, we did have some technical glitches and we weren't able to go live today. But here we are. We're doing this and it's going to be fantastic. And we got an additional message all about shared calendar and such and Teams. I would like to just say hello to everyone. Share some news. Something that, you know, we hadn't talked about, and I just reminded myself of. You know, I drink out of these glasses every episode. It's the same type of glasses, and they're etched, and they're from a SQL Saturday, which is a community event that you can go to, just similar to SharePoint Saturdays or Microsoft 365 or Office 365 Saturdays or other days, I guess. Anyway, so it's just from a community event. And it actually made me a little sad when I picked it up just a moment ago because the PASS organization, which is a global organization that has been doing management and such for activities around the PASS community, announced their folding. That's not fun, and it's brought some sadness this past week to the community. I know, and I tweeted about this, I had a tweet thread. I know that the community will persevere. We will move forward. We will find new avenues to have meetings with, or at conferences. We will something new and great will come out of this. So it is not an organization that made the community. It's us that made the community. So I'm looking forward to that. See what happens. But I did. I looked at the cloud. Oh, man, I totally forgot about that. But I'm looking forward. Like I said, looking forward to what comes from that community. So our community.
Yeah. And anyway, it's good to recognize and remember the contributions and the organization that help to establish and pull that together. So community, keep on going. And with that, we'll get straight into that first message. I said it was a big deal. That's why we decided to actually add it to the show. Daniel, tell us about this first message.
Yeah, so this is add a shared calendar to a Teams channel, MC2131108. No. I did that totally wrong. It's MC2311108.
Yes.
Man, I wish I could read my own notes. So this is all about, and we'll kind of dive into why this is so important. We actually decided to put this in last minute. So this is all about being able to add the shared calendar app. It's a new app to your Teams channel, and when you do, you can add it as a tab in your channel so that your members of your team can see the shared calendar for your team. So rollout will be production tenants mid-January through the end of January, and then government tenants, yay, again, another highlight of government. I'm loving, there's even some more we'll talk about later. Calling out government tenants. Rollout will be early February through the end of February. So you'll basically just be able to go to the tab and click plus to add a tab and find the and add channel calendar from the available apps. And really, before we kind of start talking about the implications of this, I'll just highlight that because of, you know, licensing, just kind of the way things are structured, and it makes total sense, but make sure we highlight this. Guests in your team, guest users cannot access the channel calendar app. Hmm. So if they go to that tab, they're not going to be able to access it. So Daryl, you know, I think, and we kind of talked a little briefly about this before coming on with the show. I feel like this is bigger than just, oh, we have another app as a tab. Mm. Because, and we talked about this eons ago, it seems, about groups, Office 365 groups at the time, now Microsoft 365 groups. They act differently depending upon where you create them. And so me act differently, meaning you experience a different functionalities depending upon where you create them. And Teams is no different. When you're creating a Teams meeting and everything, it acts different, right? Daryl, so what's been your experience with this over this past, you know, year or two with that kind of, you know, shared calendars and meetings and such within Teams?
Yeah, I'll just also mention just a brief history around Office 365 groups, that it initially was based in Outlook, provided a shared mailbox, therefore calendar, SharePoint site, OneNote notebook. And you could access the calendar. You can today if you create an Outlook group. When we started to see Microsoft Teams, we also could see the shared calendar and the shared mailbox. So it was like you could access the Microsoft team, but you could also access the shared place where your calendar was from Outlook. You could access the shared mailbox where you could have mail-based conversations. And that's where the trouble started. People got confused. They started to have the conversations in email. They didn't go to Microsoft Teams and use the conversations in the channel. And Microsoft took a decision, I think it was a couple of years ago, to say, well, we're going to hide the calendar from the Outlook view.
It's controversial.
Very
controversial.
What's one of the main activities we need to do as a team? Organize events and calendar, you know, things that we need to do together and things that we need to know about. And this actually had quite a confusing and annoying effect on when you create a meeting in a channel. That's what this is all about. It's all about tidying that up. You know, Daniel, there was this middle ground, which it was still a funky kind of workaround. You could create an Outlook group, and then you could turn that Outlook group into a Microsoft team and still get the best of both worlds. That was my my workaround.
Yeah.
But it created problems. What's been your experience when someone today creates a channel meeting?
Yeah, and it really is kind of, it depends. And I think that's the problem, right, with this. And we talked about this it feels like we talked about a lot about this, about consistency. Those of the fans of the show that have been along for the ride know that a big fan of consistency. And this is one that where there wasn't consistency. It depends on where you create this group, of what kind of functionality you get and how it behaves. And same thing with these meetings. And so, you know, I think users expect to get, it's a meeting, so they expect all of the same behaviors of a meeting that is just created in Outlook, right? You create an Outlook meeting and you send out invites, and members in Teams expect that same experience, but it's really not if you went through Teams and created the team first. Right. And you created the group from there, for instance. Right. So I'm assuming that's kind of been your experience.
Yeah.
You're talking about really teamifying a group, right? Teamifying when you were talking about that, creating a group via Outlook or SharePoint or whatever, but creating with, and then going to SharePoint, and you can just teamify it, you know, by clicking a little link and you get the team. But
well, the other thing about this is the construct of a team. You always have a general channel. Everyone will get the notifications for something posted in general. It's a bit like sending out a reply all to a distribution list. Great. Okay. So be careful when you do that. You should have some good practices around that. But a channel, if you created one for a certain work stream or a thing in the project and you were interested in following the activity within that, you would show it. And that meant that you could adjust your notifications And we've got more and more options over time about how frequent and engaging those notifications will be for us.
Mm-hmm.
Where it fell over was you might subscribe to a channel or not, because you don't want to be getting all the activity based on that channel. Didn't matter when it came to scheduling a meeting in a channel. Everyone would get it in one condition. If you had created the team directly mm-hmm. from Microsoft Teams, if it had mm-hmm. no history with Outlook groups, if it right. was not a Teamified SharePoint site or anything like that. And that was probably quite a common thing. And the trouble was, someone might create a meeting in a channel because they were targeting the people who were most interested in that channel or that work stream, whatever the purpose for that channel was, and everyone get the invite. And so you get a bunch of like, I'm not interested. No, decline, decline. No thanks, no thanks. So that was the one side of it. The other side of it was we were all trying to figure out how can we expose this darn calendar so we can actually share it like we could yeah. with Outlook groups.
Well, and people were working around doing things like if you had created an Outlook, it's or you go to the OWA, you go to Outlook on the web and actually add the web page, you know, do some things like that as a tab. I mean, just kind of just trying to figure out how do we do this exact thing. So I'm loving this. We're getting this in about a month, being able to have this app as in a tab in our channels. And quickly just go to the calendar. We don't have to wonder what's going on with the calendar. When are we meeting? All that. It's right there. Where's the meeting invite? Where's the link? You know, all that kind of stuff. We don't need to worry about that. We just go to the calendar and check it out.
And it now looks like, well, what they're suggesting from this message, because it's going to be something based in the channel, when you set your notifications to say, I want to know about stuff going on in this channel, then it will include calendar appointments booked or meetings booked within a channel. If you have your notifications turned off for that channel, you will only see the meeting if you go to the channel. So great. Mm-hmm. It's going to right. operate consistently the way that we expect. Great news.
Speaking of insights and teams, yes. Daryl, let's talk about another app for Microsoft Teams, shall we?
Yeah. Yes, we shall. We shall. This one's interesting. By name, it talks about Insights. Insights app in Microsoft Teams will be available starting February 2021. Sounds like a brand new thing. MC230176. Sounds like a brand new thing. I repeat it. It's not, though. This is, for want of a better description, pieces of My Analytics exposed in Microsoft Teams. This is how I would sum it up. My Analytics is great. However, it's mostly driven from Outlook, and that's where you will experience it unless you go to the My Analytics page and engage with it directly. Insights app in Teams brings in some of the functionality of My Analytics for you, and you can add the Insights app to your app rail bar. And you can start to engage in some of the great insights that you would leverage to, what is it? There's two flavors or two themes to this about staying connected with people that matter to you and protecting your time. Now, Daniel, do you use My Analytics much to get suggestions about remaining connected with people?
I will say really the biggest thing that I use analytics for is meetings and getting those reminders of, hey, you might want to read this, you know, see this email or whatever before you go to this meeting. The analytics are a little thrown off for me with the way I do work. And so my calendar and the way I do work is not necessarily the same as maybe someone who has a 9-to-5 job or whatever the case may be. I think, but I like it. I like the insights, and I don't mean to, no pun intended here. I like the insights of, hey, here are some documents that have been emailed and back and forth with the same, you know, before this meeting or in response to this meeting request or I love getting that so I can catch up really quickly. You know, so how about you? Do you use Insights very much, those analytics for when you're working? Yeah.
Well, for these ones, it's actually mostly driven from the conversations you'll have in a mailbox. And that's always been the case for my analytics. And it's gradually expanded to take on some of the other activities, namely chat within Microsoft Teams. These insights are about, first of all, connecting you with your key contacts. And you can signal who your key contacts are by pinning them. Expect to see that. Let's see if I can bring up the blog post and find that for us. So, yeah, sorry about that for the people on the podcast. But there is, to find this, docs.microsoft.com, the language piece of it, then insights/Teams app. Two flavors to it, staying connected. You can, first of all, pin the people that are important to you. And so these are the people that you will want to remain connected with. You will, once you've pinned those people, then you start to get insights around reminders to have one-on-one meetings with them. I think this is going to be really important for people trying to remain engaged and connected with their team, with people mm-hmm. in their direct team, or maybe people within their project. So you'll pin those people. You get reminders for meetings. You will also get task suggestions as well. These are still coming out of email and the kind of language that you might use in a conversation. I'm interested to see if it's also eventually going to pick up on language within a chat conversation in Teams. And recognizing, oh, that looks like a commitment. I'm going to rifle it into the stay connected zone of the Insights app. Helpful?
Yeah. Okay. But now you're getting into Microsoft spying on me and reporting to my manager.
Yeah.
Whether or not I am being productive.
Great. Thank you for raising that, Daniel.
For this is inside. Well, not joke. It's not really a joke at all. But there has been a history of people raising complaints about Insights and analytics. I don't mean to say Insights specifically as this product. I'm just saying, you know, Microsoft taking a look at what you're doing and giving you information based upon what you're doing to help improve your work. And so I think it's very interesting that in this article that you've pointing people here, there was a link in the message as well called Teams Insight App is the link. At the very top is privacy guide.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a, please don't fuss at us. Here's what we're going to do. And please, you know, this is how this is being used. And, you know, I feel people want this improvement in their lives. They want to have computers to help us out, but they really want it to be private and no one else see it and no reporting to happen. So just read this, make sure you're comfortable with it. But, you know, I feel like getting these insights and what you're talking about helping you with being connected with Teams, man, we need that now. And I don't mean Teams the app. I mean Teams the group of people around you.
Yeah,
we totally need that now. And having a reminder to, you know, set up one-on-ones and stuff, it sounds like a great thing, great feature to me.
Yep. The other flavor of my analytics here is this protect time tab. And that is really about booking your focus time, but directly from Teams. You would be able to do it from a suggestion and an Outlook message. You can do it from the My Analytics page. Well, this will allow you to go through. And if you don't have a focus plan where this has been put in there automatically for you, then you can use the suggested times and book at least 2 hours a day for the week ahead directly from the Insight app in Teams. Just wrapping that up, it is going to be available. It says it in the title, actually. starting early February 2021, completed by end of April. Users with a My Analytics license can access the feature within the Insight Teams app. Right? If you don't have the My Analytics license, there you go. There's the direct connection. Then you won't see it. Daniel.
Yes.
Yes. I noticed that you reacted quite a bit to that in the last message that we had, and maybe you've got some other reactions that you'd like to share with us.
Wow. Yes, I do, Daryl. It's meeting reactions, though. Huh. Meeting reactions in Teams meetings, MC230680. This is giving you the capability of giving a thumbs up or a heart or a smiley face or a clap for a reaction within a Teams meeting. And it will show up over your face, over your video that's being shown, or if there's content being shown, whether it's a desktop or PowerPoint or content being shared, then it will actually show up over on top of the screen of people giving reactions. So this is, as soon as I read this, I went, yeah, but what about negative? There's no negative reactions whatsoever. So, you know, if you want to say, I want to have some, you know, just a quick vote. I'd love to see how many of you like this, and people can hit, you know, hit the, you know, heart. And then how many people hate this? Give me a thumbs up. You know, anyway. So
maybe you want to nominate the sarcastic laughing face.
Right. Sarcastic laughing face is the negative. Yes. All right. So the rollout. Here's another one that's talking about government, which is awesome. Production and GCC environments will start rolling out in late January, complete early February. And then GCC, government clouds, high, and DoD tenants start rolling out mid-February and will be completed by late February. This will be in the control bar, you know, where you can do the you can raise your hand, but you can also give their meeting reactions. It's going to be interesting to see how people use these, Daryl, don't you think? Because we all have different ways of doing our work and handling our meetings and controlling our meetings, running our meetings.
Levels of business professionalism. How would you feel presenting something which is kind of serious? And you see these things floating laughing over the top.
Yeah, right.
Okay. I get it. Like, it's good for cheering people on when they've got a presentation and showing some sentiment, but there'll be some meetings where it's just not appropriate. So
I feel like this is a filling in of functionality because everyone else has it. You know, props to the team for doing cool stuff, but I feel like this is a... Was this really, you know, top of the line? We had to have this. Okay, I mean, some people may say yes. I would put some other things above that. But you know, I think this has a merit. I'm not saying it doesn't. It has merit, and I know people will enjoy using it. So that's meeting reactions. So up next, let's stay in Teams, and why don't you just, you know, give me a call.
I'll give you a call, and it will actually be easier for me to manage that call, or at least before I make that call. Introducing an enhanced Teams calling experience, MC229945. I'm always, this is one of the messages this week where I am, again, impressed by the spin. This sounds a bit negative, but the spin that can be given on something that is just a rearranging of certain features, and it's more cosmetic. But it's a good cosmetic, okay? Microsoft Teams calling has felt like it's been spaced out across many different apps and screens unnecessarily. And when you are using Microsoft Teams for a phone system, then it begins with by default a, what is it, a speed dial screen where there's massive cards with lots of different space and a dial pad that you have to click on to try and make it appear to begin with. Then you've got to go to yet another screen to find your contacts, and that's a chunky piece of useful tool that still needs
disjointed
work.
Disjointed is the word
comes to mind. Then you've got yet another screen for history and yet another screen for voicemail. It's like, whatever. It's all going to come together. So let's take a closer look at this, and we'll try and be descriptive for those on the podcast. What we're looking at is a three-column layout, which brings it all together. First column, dial pad. Great. Good to see that. Somewhere to manage your park calls if you get that fancy with managing your calls. Middle of the screen, probably.
Well, and just remember, there's also a contacts tab.
Oh, yes.
Over there on the left-hand
column. Yes, that's right. So that content, and this is something we haven't seen what it looks like yet. That's probably the most important one for me, because at the moment it's horrendous and inconsistent. There comes that word again. Like, how does it? Sometimes it'll bring through Outlook contacts, sometimes it won't. Anyway, so we don't know what that looks like, but in the middle of the screen, you've got a condensed view of everything, all the activity that you might have conducted during phone calls, calls in, calls out, calls missed, voicemail calls, and the dates, times, lengths of calls, all that sort of stuff, and a way to return that call. The last column is your speed dials. And so this is far more sensible than what we had with a full screen of all sorts of details and chunky cards. These are people that matter to you. You know who they are. I'm sure that if you hovered over them, you'll get all the card details that you need to, but it's all right there. So this is a good view. And we'll wait to see what that contact view is, but that's essentially the announcement. They have filled out a bit of space on the bottom of this, Daniel, with calling out stuff that's still to come. So that really doesn't need to be at the bottom of this message, but it's certainly in the blog post that it refers to. So that's nothing to do with now, but coming soon, call, play, support for Teams calling, et cetera, et cetera. Go have a look at it yourself. But this great improvement, even if it is cosmetic, is coming mid-January through late January. And of course, it is for those of you using Teams calling. You'll probably see something like this without the dial pad if you're just using Teams to Teams calls.
Right.
Daniel, there's something around targeting. Targeting something. Content towards people in SharePoint. Tell us about that.
There's something about something targeting. Yes, something, it's something. SharePoint audience targeting capability for quick links web part rolling out MC230714. And this is a follow-up on what you've been seeing in SharePoint functionality. We've been getting audience targeting for navigation. News. So we're getting audience targeting here for quick links. This web part, I've used many times on intranets and team pages. So you're going to be able to turn it on for the web part. And once you do, then content authors can then go in and for each link, target it to an individual group. Now, this is, I think it's very important to mention at this point when we start talking about audience targeting again, is to remind you that this means that you're going to have management, a control of your group creation. And so this is AD groups, but this is also Microsoft 365 groups, which are just a special kind of AD group, right? Because that's what you're using to do the targeting. So you can, there's some links here that I think are actually pretty interesting to read. So make sure you check them out, including that second link, the second link, which is target content to a specific audience on a SharePoint site. So you can search that. It's under it's support at Microsoft page, but it highlights this point, and I like to call out points like this for these for messages. There's a catch. You can't use dynamic groups. So in Azure AD, you can say, I want a group, and it could be a Microsoft 365 group as well, but I want a group that is only for people in HR. So their department has to equal HR or human resources. Or I only want people who have direct reports, so they're managers, right? So I only want them to be part of this group. Well, if you do that, then you won't be able to use that group, that dynamic group, as a target for your audience. So you can't use that as an audience. But that's kind of really the only gotcha that I am aware of with this. It will be rolling out in January and completed in February. We don't really have a very specific timeline on that. Daryl, I don't know about your experience with audience targeting, but I am getting more and more requests for intranets to be personalized, to have power for when a user comes to a page for them to see content that's relevant to them and not content that's the same for everybody. Or do you see that when you're talking with people, they want to see their intranet, not the intranet? There's a difference.
Yeah, there. I do. And I think the need has grown from some of this overwhelm that we've felt from working from home, from working through COVID conditions, that people can only cope with so much and they want to have a lot more guidance, whether it be from AI or from audience targeting. And this is going to be good, that you will have a list of those quick links and you can manage that list and target it to certain people so that they hit one page, then they've got that list of things that you can guide them towards.
Yep.
I'm glad to see it.
Yep. So last up, I think, Daryl, we're going to talk about blocking downloads because we don't want people downloading stuff, right?
Yeah, and I think I can buzz through this one pretty quickly. This is about blocking the download permission for a Teams meeting recording when it's stored in OneDrive and SharePoint, MC230505. And this, I think it's mostly rolled out to people, to organizations. Maybe it hasn't landed in some places. Maybe you haven't flicked a switch, but I've certainly seen it. When you hold a meeting in a private Teams meeting, then the person who has hit that record button, it will save the meeting recording in their OneDrive. If you hold the meeting within a Teams channel, then it is going to be saved within the SharePoint site of that team and in a folder for those recordings. I think this message really relates more to the recordings that are saved in your OneDrive. And if your organization has allowed you to share files externally with people, then not an objection, but some feedback has been given to say, well, it's one thing to share the recording and allow people to view it, but some organizations don't want people to be able to download it. So when you share this file and you use a link to say view or a view link, then you will have the option to prevent people from downloading the recording too. They'll have to go to the link. They'll have to view it from the web browser. So this is rolling out beginning early February and expected to be complete end of April. And yeah, it's good to have that kind of feedback and adjust it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think just take a look at the message and think through how you want to communicate this to your users and how they'll, you know, be able to manage this. But can we just agree? I think we as a world, as a race of humans, we need to agree that we're not going to share meetings, recorded meetings, unless it was talked about during the meeting. Unless you said to everyone, hey, I'm going to record this and we're going to share it with so-and-so. And if you don't do that, then you don't have, you know, it's as if you walked into a meeting and put a tape recorder under the table and recorded the meeting and then left with the tape recorder and handed it to somebody and say, here, listen to what we just said. Well, I mean, don't do that. Just my personal opinion. I'm on my soapbox here. Don't do that. I mean, if okay, but the only exception here is if you go back to everyone who was in that meeting and say, oh, by the way, I need to, I want to share this with so-and-so. Is it okay with you? And get approval from everyone. Because when you're having a conversation in a meeting, you're having it with the people in the meeting, not with the world. And if you're going to share it, then we all know when you share it with somebody, you've just lost control. Right. Really. I mean, because the content's out. It's just like emailing something. Anyway, off
well,
of myself.
I think the way the feature works, Daniel, is if you have been invited to the meeting and you click record, of course, we'll see the usual warning to say it's being recorded.
Sure.
That wrap up thing at the end of that meeting will still be available to anyone who was invited to the meeting.
Right.
And because the file is in OneDrive, it's much like when you upload a file to a meeting, it'll only add the permissions for the people that are in the meeting at that time.
I understand. But what you were just saying and what I'm saying is don't go back and add somebody else and share it with someone else that wasn't in that meeting.
Oh, that's clear.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's just kind of a meeting etiquette, you know, don't do that without permission.
Fair call. All right. Well, it was a slightly longer episode, but we did get quite excited about the news for a calendar for a Teams channel and among other things. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you. We should chime in here with what we're doing over the holidays. I'm going to take a couple of weeks break. And I think, Daniel, are you just going to try and do the next two episodes on your own? What's the story?
I am not. I am going to – I may do one of those, but I am going to take some time off, at least take 1 week off. So
good.
Know that it will be the new year before you see us, whatever that looks like. So have a happy end of 2020, whatever that looks like for you. I hope you're spending time – you're able to spend time with family. And so ring in 2021 with us, with a brand new show in January.
And we're really thankful too for those of you who constantly keep up with our content, who are subscribing to the podcast, who join us on the live meetings, the live streams as well. We are always thankful for the great rich conversation that happens in the live chat. And we will endeavor to continue to improve the show. Do give your feedback, because we love sharing this content with you and encouraging the conversation around change and keeping you up with change. We'll see you again next time. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.